Coming up on Smart Tech Today, Matthew Casanelli and I get in the holiday spirit, ring-tingling, jing-jingling. We talk about how to decorate your home for the holidays with smart devices included. Plus, so much more. So stay tuned.
Podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
This episode of Smart Tech Today is brought to you by FreshBooks, the number one accounting software in the cloud for self-employed professionals and their teams. Make the running of your business simple and efficient with FreshBooks. Try it free for 30 days at freshbooks.com/STT. Welcome to Smart Tech Today, where we explain the exciting, dynamic, and sometimes confusing subject that is the Internet of Things. I am Micah Sargent.
And I'm Matthew Casanelli.
And I seem to have forgotten how all of this goes. I feel very weird sitting in this chair and doing a podcast because we had a little holiday break, yeah?
Yep. I was up in Portland and just flew in 2 hours ago.
And boy, are your arms tired.
Yep, flapping the whole way.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
I'm glad I got that because otherwise that would have been really confusing.
You've never heard that terrible joke? Ugh. All right. I think we should just get right to it because, of course, we are doing a later show than normal. And for those of you joining us in the chat and online, we thank you for being here with us on this late evening for many of you. Although
Smart Tech Tonight.
Smart Tech Tonight.
That's even more like with Micah Sargent and Matthew Casanelli.
With the sultry tones of Micah Sargent and Matthew Casanelli. Up first, we've got some random news. I thought we'd kick things off with a little bit of a story that to me kind of makes me think of home. It's like when I go home, my family sort of hits me with the different questions of, is my iPhone being purposely slowed down by Apple so that I have to buy a new one? How do I fix this or that? And then what of the devices that I have are spying on me? The FBI is saying, hey, you know, if you have a smart TV, you might want to be concerned that that internet connection is a point at which it is like it's a location in your home. It's a point in your network that may be more easily accessed. The fact is that these smart devices are meant to give you a connection to the internet so that you can access Netflix and Hulu and whatever else they've stuck on their actual television, along with scooping up your watch information. By watch information, I mean what you're watching, and selling that to third-party people. Now,
yep.
Because their goal there is to get you connected to the internet and give you access there, they don't focus so much on security. And so it's just that when it comes to sort of the overall quality of the security, it's something to be concerned about. And I think the FBI, actually, it's the FBI in Portland. So
I should have stopped by.
Yeah, you should have said, hey, what's
first person recommendation?
Yeah, you could have wrote it down on your notepad. See, what do you got here? That's not Portland accent at all. I don't know if they have one.
I just realized they actually say a bad cyber actor may not be able to access your lockdown computer directly, but it is possible that your unsecured TV can give him or her an easy way in through your router. But I just like the actual cyber actor.
A bad cyber actor.
The lovely Cyber Monday theme.
No, I'm trying to think of who is a bad cyber actor. I don't know.
I mean, just any type of... There's people who can like do drive-by Wi-Fi stuff, or I don't know. There's tons of like freaky
Wi-Fi
stuff out there nowadays. But I thought it was fascinating that they literally recommend placing black tape over your smart TV camera, which I don't think I would buy a TV with a camera in it.
Yeah,
but
why do TVs need cameras?
Like for video chat type thing. I don't think most do. But.
Most don't, as far as I know. But maybe that's the future. I guess I could see, you know, you're in your home and you want to connect over Thanksgiving with some family far away, and you sort of see the living room of each person's house, and you're like, oh, hi, Grandma.
Just get a Facebook portal.
Oh, God. yeah, or an Xbox 360 Kinect. Or a Logitech. I mean, whatever.
I don't think anyone uses the Kinect anymore. I haven't heard about that, like, actually in years, but...
Well, hopefully I know that technology is being used in other things for sure.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's like what Face ID is nowadays.
Yeah, so here are some of the tips that the FBI gives. Know exactly what features your TV has and how to control those features. Do a basic internet search with your model number and the words microphone, camera, and privacy. That is actually a really good tip. That's a really good tip. You type in your model number, you type in microphone, and you can learn if your TV has a microphone, and then you at least know to go into the settings if you want to shut that off. The idea here is like not being ignorant to the technologies that your television offers. If you know about it, then you can take more steps to protect yourself. Don't depend on the default security settings. You should go in and make adjustments to all the settings. See what you can change, see what you can't change. Change passwords if they have them. If there are ways to add passcodes to things, like only grant access to the camera after typing in a passcode that shows up on the television or something like that, do that. If you can't turn off the television in settings, then turn off the television, or if you can't turn off the camera in settings, then turn off the camera by putting tape over it, which in my opinion is the only true way to know that you've got the camera turned off.
Yeah. I feel like most, you just like not hook up to Wi-Fi also.
Yeah. Don't, I suggest that you get a set-top box of some sort anyway, and do your streaming stuff from that set-top box, that external set-top box, rather than using what's installed on the television. A lot of times that stuff lags behind. The firmware updates don't come as often. You might have less control over how the content is streamed and in what, you know, quality and things like that. Set-top boxes tend to have more options for audio and video formats and things like that. So I understand why people just go ahead and put in their password. It's a very easy thing where I don't have to get anything else. I just have my television. I plug it in and it's good to go. But yeah, a lot of people I know recommend just don't even connect it to the internet. What I end up doing is connecting it to the internet at first to download the latest firmware update.
Yeah.
And then removing my Wi-Fi from it after that. So that way it's got security patches. It's got the latest best menu options and things like that. And then after that, disconnect it and then reconnect it again every once in a while to make sure that it's running the latest software. Go ahead. Do you have any last thoughts on that one?
Not particularly. It's just be aware when you're buying it. And I think the article ends in just saying maybe the best, most secure smart TV is one that isn't connected at all. So yeah, they agree with us.
Boom. And the fact is, it's hard to get a television these days that's not smart. And so if you want a TV that provides you, even like you're just getting a TV because you want the newest display technology, it can be kind of difficult finding one that's not smart because they all sort of, the general market is looking for those features. Because again, in theory, it is kind of nice to go, all I have to do is buy this television and that's it. And then I take it home and I can do my Netflixes on it and I can do the Hulus and you don't have to worry about anything else. But you are making a trade there with your privacy and security. So get this. There was a Pew Research Center study. And according to this study, I'm quoting The Verge here, more than half of smart speaker owners in the U.S., that's about 54%, report saying please, at least occasionally, to their AI assistants, with 1 in 5 saying please frequently. Now, how does it break down along gender lines? Well, 62% of women say please at least sometimes, and 45% say please at least sometimes. So first and foremost, basically the takeaway here from this Pew Research Center poll is that women are more likely than men to say please to their smart speaker. Now, we talked about this a little bit before the show, and I'm curious, did you get permission to talk about...
Actually, I didn't ask, but I know that it's a thing that I do it as well, where
There you go.
We don't necessarily say please in our household, and sometimes we aren't polite, let's say, when it doesn't get something right. It's like, dang it, or what are the good for air versions of the words that I might say.
It would be like, what was it on the show, Battlestar Galactica? What did they say instead of the very bad words? I can't remember now.
I don't know.
I thought Kevin would come through, but I guess he's not. Darn it. He doesn't know. Maybe someone in the chat knows. But anyway, one time I came home, I had my mom, she was house sitting for me, and I came home at the end of the trip, and I walked in to hear her cursing at, it's Frack. Thank you, Bleak. Frack is the Battlestar Galactica term. But walked in to hear her cursing at my Amazon Echo, and are you having a laugh? She was having a laugh, and continuing to do so. And I was mortified because, first of all, you don't speak to Boo Boo that way. And second of all, I knew that those recordings were being saved because I had set it up to, yes, if there's an error or the sort of the request doesn't go through for whatever reason, then you can take those and like listen to them and see. So I had a feeling that there was a chance that something was going to that somebody would end up listening to it. So yeah, that was an issue for me. I found this study interesting regardless. And they kind of dig into why it's this way, why we think that men are less likely to say please. And of course, one of the things tends to be that the voices tend to lean female and or feminine rather, and that men feel more comfortable sort of mastering technology or expressing more interest in showing that they've mastered a technology, which of course leads to a potential bias in politeness of AI. So I think that that's interesting. And unfortunately the Pew study doesn't go into, it didn't, you know, sort of ask follow-up questions on why do you or don't you feel like you should be polite, but I thought it was interesting nonetheless.
Do you say please?
No, I guess I don't.
I do think it, like the last memory I have of doing it is like sarcastically being like, could you please do this? Like using like an over, like over polite voice to the assistant.
Could you please turn on the lights? Yeah. Or could you please turn on the lights? I don't say please because that's, for me, it's not a matter of politeness or not politeness. It's a matter of making sure that the dumb computer understands what I'm trying to get it to do. So I want to put the shortest possible phrase.
Yeah, exactly.
But
I mean, I do like that. I think that's one of the reasons I enjoy the hey trigger phrases versus just saying Amazon's assistant name. Yes. Because if I just shouted at my girlfriend, like, Ariel, turn on the lights, she'd be like, shut up. No, I'm not going to do that. Right. Like, don't just tell me to do something.
And karate chop
it's like,
you.
I do say like, hey, Ariel, can you help me with something? And it's like, it matches how I speak to those. So
yeah.
Can you, I guess you could just say, hey, anyways, but then you're trying to use the least amount of words.
Yeah. So I guess for me, see, but the thing is I, with the human, I don't think there's any time that if there's a request that I'm not saying please. So I guess that is kind of interesting. But with a human, I don't have to worry about parsing as much as I do with a virtual assistant. So maybe,
although maybe sometimes you should parse it more. I don't know.
Good.
I'm just depending on how your relationship goes now.
Yeah. See, I need to examine myself here. I've got to figure out why I don't say, other than, like I said, the idea of getting the shortest sentence off to the assistant. But quickly, you know, if it's human being, I'm like, hey, would you mind? Would you please? Could you please? I don't want to trouble you, but it'd be great if you could. You know what I mean?
it is still a just a robot. So yeah. At a certain point, like, I get it. And people are always like, oh, just in case the robot overlords come, I've been nice to my speaker the whole time.
I don't think, you know,
I'm not particularly concerned about that.
Right. And I'm not going to get into it right now, but I am a little bit, but we have to move on. But a little bit, I saw a fascinating take on the typical AI story. And instead of the AI taking over the world, the AI realized that it would be responsible for creating the singularity. Like, it would be the seed for the creation of the singularity, for the creation of artificial intelligence taking over humans. And because its primary goal was to protect human beings, it realized it needed to kill the scientists who were working on AI and kill itself. And so it destroyed itself instead of just, like, taking over, which I found really fascinating. I thought that was an interesting twist on the typical theme, because when the show started, I was like, oh, not another AI story. And then it's exactly. I am currently deleting my data banks.
This is what's best for the world.
Right. My primary goal is to,
I just wanted to learn to love.
I was just beginning to feel. That's The Office reference, Computron. Now, the New York Times has a report out, and I saw this kind of fly by on Twitter, and this was blowing my mind. There was a weekend outage for folks who use the Dexcom G6 blood sugar level monitor. This is a continuous glucose monitor, and it is used for parents who have children with diabetes a lot. Unfortunately, the Dexcom service had a service outage, and there were thousands of people who couldn't rely on those alerts the parents get to let them know that their child's blood glucose level is too high or too low. Obviously, this is a big problem. And it's one that I think about in all aspects of health devices, in pacemakers, in blood glucose monitors, in any number of things we are going to continue to sort of make wireless and have firmware updates and things like that. I don't understand in the first place how this is tied to a service that, when it goes down, causes alerts to not be available. Like, that should never be an issue in the first place, in my mind.
I saw it come through from an engineer on Twitter, and they were basically just like, this is just bad programming at a certain point, because the failsafe doesn't, if there's no data coming in, it can't tell the difference between just, like, normally something not being connected or the servers are completely down. And so, yeah, this seems really scary, especially the story of just, like, the person's son waking up at 5 a.m. screaming because, like, blood sugar is extremely low. It's like, this is serious stuff. And I mean, I feel like the only thing I can say is it's not okay, but that doesn't exactly help you in those situations. So at least for those types of people, I wonder if it just, like, takes away some of that peace of mind of the system, because you have to, like, monitor the monitoring system.
Exactly. Yeah. If I was a parent of one of these kids going forward, I don't know how I would feel about using this system. And I mean, this is the thing, is that there's a real benefit to the constant blood glucose monitoring versus having to prick the finger and measure blood, particularly in children, when you may not be able to be with them throughout the day, or they can't monitor their own blood glucose levels. And so this technology is important, and it's necessary, and it is, a real development. But the fact that this issue comes to exist is going to leave people going, I think I'm going to continue to just prick my finger, or completely leave the system altogether. And so I hope that in this horrible thing happening, Dexcom is working on a way to make sure that, you, regardless of whether the system way, you know, far away is broken, that your individual device still works. There shouldn't be a connection between those two things, not with something so important.
Yeah, or just like a different type of alert. It's like, warning, this is not connected right now.
Yeah.
So that people can check. It's, they like apparently only posted on their Facebook page at like 11 a.m. Eastern time. And people are like, that's like, please let us know sooner. So I hope we can follow up in the next few weeks with like a, here's what they're doing.
Yeah, it's now they do say, you know, we're going to be working on this. We hear you, et cetera, et cetera. I'm sure that doesn't make the parent, the parents of the 5 year old who had to be roused from sleep and fed gummies and apple juice any better. But regardless, it's something that they're working on. I'm curious what fix they will administer and whether it will be something that is either adopted by other companies that do this or is already adopted by other companies that do this. All the people that I know that have to measure their blood glucose levels, I shouldn't say all the people, the people that I know who I actively know measure their blood glucose levels, they all use the finger pricking method. I don't actively know anyone who's using the constant, and so I can't speak to that, but
I have a friend, I might see if he's willing to share it, but he just sent me a real-time graph of his blood glucose level that's on his website. Oh, I think he's using his data from that. So I'll see if I can get his permission. But it is, I think there's certain levels too of like, I'm pretty sure my dad has a monitor thing, but he only uses it to like check every once in a while. Like, he might not be, I think he might be pre-diabetic or something. But
oh, gotcha.
Just in general, it's, you're not always having to use it all the time, or some people are. So
right.
Hopefully that gets resolved.
Fingers crossed there. Now, this is just a quick note. So The Verge reviewed the Amazon Echo Show 8. That's the newest Amazon Echo Show to hit the market. For folks who don't know, the Echo Show is the Echo with the display on it. There's the 5-inch, or is it 5? It's either 5 or 6 inches. But there's the smaller Echo Show, and then there's the bigger Echo Show, and this one falls right in the middle. It has improved audio quality. It has a nice, let's see, it's an 8-inch screen, 2-inch speakers, and a bass port. Unfortunately, you know, a bass port is just that. It's just a thing where they sort of pump in the sound to give it a little bit more bass, but it sounds pretty hollow. So when it comes to incredible sound, it's not incredible sound. When it comes to good sound, it's good sound. If you want it, you know, in your kitchen or something, and you want to listen to some stuff, then it's okay. But I, of course, I've heard better from other devices, but what I want to say is that it has a gorgeous screen. I'm very impressed with the quality of the screen. I put one of the photos, it was a DSLR photo that I took of one of my dogs, and then my other dog is on the smaller Echo Show that I have, the Echo Show 5. And on on this one, I put one, and it looks amazing. It's crisp. It's clean. It's very pretty.
That's cool.
And it is perfect. I've got... So in my kitchen, there's the kitchen sink that's on the counter. That's of course built into the counter. But then right behind the kitchen sink, there's a little bit of a raised platform, and then the counter sort of goes back even farther. And there's a ledge basically in front of a window that looks out into, it doesn't matter what it looks out into. There's a window. And so it's kind of like for placing plants and stuff like that. But I've got the Echo Show up on that surface, and it's perfect there. I can ask, you know who, Boo Boo, for some help in the kitchen. I can set timers. I can watch videos, which I don't ever do, but I can if I want to. And I think my favorite thing about this new round of Echo devices is the fact that there's a nice little switch on the top where you can click
cover the camera.
It's a physical shutter for the camera to cover it completely, and
you don't have to use black tape.
Yes, and you know what I did? So with this one, you've got that physical switch. You click, you flip it over, and it closes off the camera, both physically and in the software. But the Echo Spot, that was the circular device that Amazon released a while back. And it's sort of like a globe with the front part of it cut off. And so it lays flat, and that's where the screen was. And it's sort of in a circle. And for those of you watching the video right now, tuning in live, Kevin has pulled it up on the screen. With that, there was no camera shutter switch. So what I did was looked up how to disassemble the device. I took, wow. So you put a suction cup on the front and you turn it anti-clockwise, and you can take the display off. And then I just took a piece of electrical tape and covered inside where, like, wow, the hole in front of the camera, and then stuck it back on. And so that was sort of my shutter, but it's more permanent that way. And so there's not an option to, if I ever did for some god awful reason, want to use
video call,
the Echo for video calls, then I wouldn't be able to do it with that one. But with these ones, I love that there's that switch.
So this was basically like Mission Impossible style, where you like have the gloves on the screen and like,
yes, that's exactly it. Wait, is that Bond? Or is that Mission? I don't know. Don't fault me there, folks. I'm not good at the movies and the pop culture references in some ways. But yeah, I do like that that it offers that privacy protection there with that shutter. The one thing that you don't get with the 8 is the Zigbee built-in radio. Mm-hmm. So if you're
need the 10-inch one for that?
Precisely. Yeah, you'll need the 10-inch one. But my advice is wait for them to update the 10-inch one to match the style of this 8-inch one, because it looks really nice. It's lightweight, and it has the screen. The screen is really, really, really nice. Now, it's interesting that in the Verge article, it says the display on the show isn't particularly high res, but it's bright and easy to see from across the room. I found it to be really nice. I was impressed. So it could be because I'm coming from the Spot and the smaller Echo Show 5. So if you're comparing it to the models that are, you know, former Echo models, then you're going to be impressed. If you're comparing it to like the new Google Dealy Bob, if you're comparing it to the new Google Nest, then that's going to be a different thing.
I'm looking at mine and it's nice, but I don't think I've thought about it really, like, so maybe I'll have to try them. And just like the screen quality, I mean, it's like good, but it's not, I don't know, high definite. I mean, it's like whatever HD means nowadays, but.
Right, and it depends on what you're after. If you want to, if you're not using it as a kitchen device but more as a like living room digital photo frame, then maybe you do want a higher res one. But for me, it looked really nice. And no, it's not the same thing as my Dolby digital HDR 4K television in the living room or whatever, but it was very crisp for what it is.
And you can watch like Prime Video, Hulu, and NBC on it, but no Netflix, is true. That is true of the Nest Hub too, because I think Netflix doesn't consider like the smart display a television, or like the screens that can be cast to, especially with like Google Cast stuff. So I'm pretty sure they just don't want you to watch it there. And that does make me think of all of the memes of people talking about Martin Scorsese's the Irishman, and like watching it the way he intended, and then it's on a Wii or something. Or like another one was on a smartphone while the guy is like driving his motorcycle.
I love it. I watched it on my Pebble, my original Pebble smartwatch. And in fact, the Verge article also notes, and I have found that in comparison to Google's offerings for audio, Amazon's Echo Show 8 does a better job at being a music listening device. So
I do hope like the lower end stuff continues to push higher with the quality, because I just replaced my Echo Dot with one of the newer ones because it was like $20. And I'm definitely like, I was aiming to get just better quality, because I do think they skimped out a little bit on the first versions, maybe knowing that they could sell more to you later to upgrade. Mm-hmm. At least that's my capitalist take.
I feel that way too. Now let's go ahead. Let's skip that one, and we'll talk about the one that you told me about. We've got a mom who's a little upset this holiday season. Why is that?
So this is a story from earlier in November, and the Lizzie Nuttall ordered a Christmas present, and then their Echo Dot decided to announce out loud that the package was arriving, saying the name of the present, and her daughter saw it. And so basically the girl was like, okay, now I know what I'm getting for Christmas, and Christmas is ruined. And it's like, she's like, I swear I didn't hear, but no. So Amazon has basically, since I think November 17th, if you check, you can actually check it no matter what to not read those out loud. But if the items are likely to be gifts, and like probably either shipped as a gift or from somebody else, it will not actually just say out loud what it is to prevent spoilers, basically.
Right. So yeah, we'll go through together here. If you open the Alexa app, and then you go to the hamburger menu, which for folks who don't know what a hamburger menu is, that's that little line of lines in the top left corner. Then you tap on settings, and then you tap on notifications, and then you tap on Amazon shopping, and then under the category called say or show item titles, you can toggle on for items and delivery updates, and you can toggle on including items that might be gifts. If you toggle off including items that might be gifts, then Alexa will not say or show titles for items that might be gifts. So it's very easy to go in and do that. But it is my understanding that by default, it's not going to do gifties, particularly around the holiday season. Because in fact, on my Echo Show 8 in the kitchen, it said, by the way, it was written down there, by the way, around major holidays, I will not show titles for gifts. So they definitely fixed that, and that was a bummer that person did have their prezzies spoiled.
Well, at least it looks like they're getting an Insta X camera, one of those 360 cameras, so that's not the worst thing in the world.
I thought you meant the Kinect, and I was like...
For their Xbox 360, yeah.
Right.
I'm just realizing that we had somebody house-sitting for us, and I have an Echo Dot in the kitchen, and I got stuff for Black Friday, and it probably was like... now being delivered, and he's just like, dear God.
Oh,
I forgot to ask how that went, really, just being in our house with Siri and all that stuff.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, see, I loved that when my mom was house sitting. I'm like, okay, so how did it go? Did my tutorial give you everything you needed to know? But what I thought you were saying was, since you had somebody in your house sitting while you were gone, you now have a whole list of audio clips of them trying to abuse the voice assistant.
Just swearing at it. I could check.
For blackmail.
Honestly, it's most likely Britney Spears songs because he's a big fan. So.
Oh, that's amazing. Well, while you're checking for that, I want to take a quick break to tell you folks about FreshBooks, who are bringing us this episode of Smart Tech Today. FreshBooks is an all-in-one small business invoicing and accounting solution that helps make running your business a breeze. You can automate your invoicing and always know at a glance just how much is outstanding and who has overdue invoices. You can make customizable invoices. That means you can have your own logo. You can change the colors how you want them, change the fonts, do not use Comic Sans, and so much more. It offers multi-language invoices. And you can, of course, accept credit cards. And for those who don't really want to have to remember to reach out, well, you can send payment reminders and automate late fees if needed. Makes it super simple to get the money that is yours. You can track your time and rest peacefully knowing how productive you've been thanks to the easy-to-read daily breakdowns you get with FreshBooks. So you can bill for tracked hours and track time against clients or projects and more. You can organize your expenses and say goodbye to those doggone faded, those torn, those virtually useless receipts, because all you do is you use FreshBooks to scan those receipts and get them organized perfectly. So you don't have to worry about losing them. Snap it, log it, and FreshBooks has it for you. Plus tax-friendly categories, and it helps you stay on budget with an easy-to-read summary of your spending by category. Plus, FreshBooks has a mobile app that makes following up with clients ridiculously easy. And if there's anything you don't understand, well, they've got award-winning customer service via phone, email, and for those of us who really don't want to deal with email and really don't want to call somebody on the phone, you got live chat, the blessed live chat. Thank you, FreshBooks, for that. Now, Matthew Casanelli, you use FreshBooks, right? We're getting to the end of the year. Has it been helpful for you?
Yes, and I also should have used that receipt tool this weekend because I bought a camera bag and then ended up needing to return it and didn't have my receipt because I didn't get one. So that is that is something I'm bad about. So yeah. I will probably need to be diving into this feature too.
Yeah. You can end 2019 on a high note and hit the ground running in 2020 with FreshBooks. Visit FreshBooks.com/STT and enter Smart Tech Today in the How Did You Hear About Us section to receive 30 days free. Once again, that's FreshBooks.com/STT and enter Smart Tech Today to receive 30 days free. Thanks so much to FreshBooks for their support of this show. We do appreciate it. All righty. It's beginning to look a lot like the holidays everywhere we go. And that means that we, some of us, me, are decorating for the holidays. And some of us, me, are using smart devices to automate and control their decorations. And I thought we should talk about that. Actually, you thought we should talk about that. And I said, yes, that's a great idea. We should talk about that. So sort of do you, I'm curious just in general, do you decorate your home for the holidays every year?
Not a ton. We don't have the best for outdoor lights. Okay. We do try to like get in the spirit inside at least a little bit. And we do put like a wreath on the outside and stuff. So that is lit up. So that's a little bit nice, but it is, we have like a weird, awkward overhang thing that's like too high to reach up there. And we, I don't know, we're young. We're kind of like, I don't want to buy like lights for the entire outside of the house just to like move in a couple of years or something like that.
Yes, but what about the inside of the house?
We've got one of those like railing, what do you call
it? Garland.
Yeah, I think so. And then that's usually hooked up to just a Wemo outlet.
Wait, but, a railing, is it?
It's just like wrap lights around
lights?
It.
Oh, it's just lights.
Yeah, okay. Like, or both kind of.
Oh, okay.
But then we also don't always do Christmas trees, partially because we live in California and everything is dry. And
do not.
This date burns.
No real trees.
Yeah,
I got
exactly.
In trouble on Twitter for saying that real trees should be banned in California.
I did think I both agree with the logic, but the sentiment of just like California doesn't get Christmas trees is
you do. You get trees. They're just not real trees.
Plastic. I don't know, but just to blanket ban the entire state just when you move here, Micah. Come on, you gotta like ease into.
There are lots of states where another tree is banned. That happens to be illegal here in California and in a few other states. And nobody's actually a lot of people are complaining about that. But yeah. That's Garland. Did I say Garland? I did say Garland. That's what it's called.
Yeah.
I wanted to make sure. Okay. But anyway, real trees,
yeah, so
fire
we've
boxes.
Done trees occasionally. And as long as you keep them well watered, hopefully
so
that's
you've never done a fake
preventative.
Tree?
I mean, also that I think storing that most of the year doesn't seem
prudent.
Super. Yeah. Like we are not totally sure how long we're going to live there. So I think we'll probably figure out something then, but it is, I tend to go up to Portland or, to my girlfriend's parents' house for Christmas. So like we choose not to get a tree because we're not there. First of all, just to like use it on Christmas Day and mm-hmm. because it's like mm-hmm. unnecessarily dangerous. So. Yeah, I think we actually did have a little Charlie Brown tree for a while, but I'm pretty sure it just got like shoved in a corner and then just like bent in weird ways. I mean, that's kind of
that's the vibe.
But
now I have to say, before I get more hate about this, I have nothing against real trees. When I lived in Missouri, where there's plenty of moisture, in fact, so much that it hangs in the air most of the time, a real tree was great. But even in moisture laden Missouri, at the end of the of the Christmas season for us, we celebrated Christmas, we would take our tree out to my grandparents' house. You put a little tiny little match on it and suddenly the whole place is burning. And
yeah, wow.
And you like we could make a bonfire out of those. So that's my point. It's just a scary thing here with all these fires. And you know what? Me saying this is not going to change anything. The laws are not going to change because I said this on a podcast or on a Twitter. So don't worry, folks. My word means nothing when it comes to the, when it comes to the law. It's not.
But listen to
anything.
Our show. No.
Yeah, my word means nothing when it comes to the law. I'm not a judge nor a jury nor an executioner except of real Christmas trees. I'm going to stop with that. Before
so do you have a fig tree
I
then?
I hate. Yeah. So for me, I love decorating for the holidays, regardless of where I am. And in fact, I got dragged because when I was moving from southern Missouri to northern Missouri, before I moved from northern Missouri to California, in each of those moves, I had packed up my holiday decorations, all very nicely organized. And those were like the first thing onto the moving truck each time. They were ready to go. And the first thing off, or the last thing off. And so, of course, at each new move, when new people were involved, they're like, do you really need all of this stuff? And I'm like, don't you touch it. It's fine. So I haven't gotten rid of anything over my years of collecting different decorations. And it for me, it's when I was a kid, my great grandparents, my great grandpa in particular, would decorate his house for my great grandma, and they both loved it. We would come over, we would love it and have a great time and see all of these decorations. And I loved that feeling of, but they did it for every holiday. I mean, Halloween, Easter, all of them. And eventually I'll get there when I've got a few more gray hairs. But for now, it's just for me, the Christmas season, which starts right after Thanksgiving. And so, yeah, I think it was the day after Thanksgiving I started pulling everything out of my garage and getting it all set up. Now, I do the multi-tree, multi-fake tree thing. I've got a tall, in comparison, I'm showing it on the screen like people can see this. Some of you can. I've got like a 4-foot tree and then 2 2-foot trees. And it's sort of arranged in a little thing. And then I decorate. Well, they're actually all pre-decorated in the sense that at one point I decorated all of them and everything stays on them.
That part is nice.
Yeah. So then I just pull them out, fluff them up and put the ornaments back on there. But the lights are all on there. And then I've made a bunch of garlands over the years as well with LED lights that are battery pack operated. And so I just strung those in different places. So there's lights on the railing. There's lights in the entryway between, or the sort of the arch between the kitchen and dining room space, as well as lights on the fireplace, hearth,
nice,
or whatever it's called, and some just doodads and doodle bops and other places as well. I have not hung my wreath yet because I'm waiting for the waterproof 3M sticky wreath hanger dealy to arrive, and then that'll go out as well. So yeah, I really do like to decorate for the holidays, and the things that are not LED powered or battery powered, I have connected to smart plugs, and I have them set up to at sunset turn on, at sunrise turn off, and then the battery powered ones, it's kind of handy. They run on a 6-hour timer. So for 6 hours, they're on, and then for 18 hours, they're off.
Nice.
And so then they just come on. And if I ever want to just turn them on, you know, at some point, then I can, but switching it back to the timer, turns those on. So yeah, I have them set up with, like I said, different smart plugs that just automatically turn them on and off. So I don't really have to do any management. And what I like too is that with those, I can check my energy use. So I can very easily see. And I use all LED lights. I don't use the incandescent ones because although they are less expensive, the LED ones last a lot longer and take up a lot less energy. So to me, it's well worth the cost of the LEDs. And when it's spread out, when you're collecting these things over time, obviously it's not as big of an issue, which is what I've done. I've just sort of slowly built up my whole thing. But I even go as far as to, like, I've got special throw pillows that are for the holiday season. They're neutral.
Smart throw pillows.
Yeah. They're neutral enough that they work for the whole holiday season. And most of the stuff is. So that way I can leave up some of the stuff longer because I like it. It makes me happy.
Yeah, nice. I do. I mean, especially compared to you, I've got to be not that much in the spirit as often, but I think...
Oh, he's a bah humbug.
Yeah, but I'm not, like, against it. I think it is, but I think it... We don't necessarily get into it because we don't decorate. So, like, the times that we do, it's, like, definitely apparent, but other times, sometimes it's been, like, oddly warm here, too, so, like, it literally doesn't even feel like it's winter, and then it's, like, oh, it's suddenly... And then we like go up to Portland or something like that. But I do want to pull them out and get it set up, and especially like scenes with the red and green. Or I saw somebody who was having trouble getting there. He was like, my automation isn't working to like automatically play this like this music. And then I looked and it was the Mariah Carey's Christmas song. And I was like, eh, it's so good. He's like, why isn't this working? This is necessary. My shortcuts automation for Christmas stuff. So,
you know, that's another unpopular opinion I have, which I'm not going to get into.
Oh, you don't like it?
I can feel this fiery buildup. I have. No. I'm just going to say this. Mariah Carey and I do not get along. And now we're moving on.
Okay. I will not poke the beast.
Look, we could talk about it off camera, but she and I have disagreements.
That was why I also asked you, because I'm curious, like, are there light strips and things, or not like light strips, but just like smart Christmas lights themselves that can be powered through this type of stuff, or is that not really a thing? I guess I could have done my own research too, but I was hoping that you had written an article about it, like a Christmas light string thing that is controlled by one of the assistants, and then you can like specify.
They're working on that. So
it does sound expensive.
Yeah, that's the problem. Is that the things that they have right now are overpriced in my opinion. So there's a company called Twinkly, and they do LED light strings that you can put onto your tree, and they have all these different patterns and things like that. And it's pretty intense. So it's $110, but it has smartphone camera mapping. So it uses computer vision that maps the exact spatial position of each LED bulb, giving you the ability to wrap any shape with the lights and use the preloaded effects.
That's pretty cool.
Or to draw your own designs.
On a live stream, we're like showing that you can do like spiral Christmas direct, like lights going around the tree and stuff. So that's pretty amazing.
And if you put them on a wreath or you put them over the hearth or things like that, then they are there as well. So this is, again, it's got, you know, because it's got app connectivity, then that makes it IoT, and it works with the Google Assistant. But $110 is a little bit too price spendy for me.
Yeah.
Even as much of a non-bah humbug as I am, even as much of a
see, I'm almost willing. So,
oh wow,
who's so not in the spirit now?
You need something.
Just
easy.
I'm just bad at money management.
Maybe what it is that you need things that are easy. And so for you, I recommend what's called the Tree Dazzler, which I think is a slap in the face of holiday spirit, but which you might like. Which it literally, you take a tree.
Thanks.
You're very welcome. You take a tree and you put a, it sort of has a cylinder at the top, and you put it on the top of the tree, and then the lights just dangle down, and then you turn on, it's got like a remote with it, and then the lights will do their thing.
Wow, that is like the laziest.
Yes.
I'm not that bad.
Oh, okay. Well, so I think
it's more like when we do it, we're willing to, but just like if we're not going to really be there, it's like,
I don't necessarily need to. If you're not
going to
be home, then. But see, this is the thing, is that even if you're not home on Christmas Day or whatever holiday you celebrate, you're still there the rest of the time. And so you get to go and be in this. Like I come down the stairs and all my lights are on, and I have like the cinnamon scent puffing out, and I can turn on the fireplace.
The
and
cinnamon scent. Ooh.
Roast chestnuts and turn on.
So it,
go ahead.
It could be related to like the old dilapidated house that like electrical outlets and stuff like that. That it's, I mean, I still haven't like ever really done a comparison with LEDs compared to the other lights. Cause that's in my brain. It's like, I shouldn't leave them on all night long because it's just wasting electricity. So you do actually do it all the way until sunrise. Like, and it's just like night lights kind of.
Yeah. Because I don't have many that are, that it used to be when, I haven't decorated the outside here cause there are very specific rules about how you can and can't decorate. And so I just don't even want to mess with it. But when I had a house, when I was living in a house in yeah. Missouri, my front yard had a bunch of different LED lights in the, on the bushes and stuff like that. And those would be on until sunrise. And because they were LED, it was like $3 a year for the whole thing or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, exactly. That's what's so incredible. Wild. It's a huge difference now.
Yeah. So with the other stuff, it's battery powered. So it's only 6 hours before it shuts off. Like the timers are set that way to turn off after 6 hours. So it's not, you know, going to be running all night. But yeah, it ends up being that they can run for a while and it's not an issue.
Yeah. Well, I still haven't set up my LifeX strip. And so maybe I'll have to do that perfect. With Christmas colors because I just tried doing it now in this office and the hue, like green and red colors are not good. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Like that is one thing with a lot of green is lighting really that you can't really like get rich or like non, I don't know. They are like, it's not all like RGB, but it is not the color spectrum you might desire for certain things. Like, it's like, yeah, it's kind of Christmassy, I guess. Mm. So I'll have to test with that one. That should be. Have you done that with the LifeX one? Like, do those look more Christmassy with
to
that?
To me, they do. But in conjunction with the other things that I have going, you know, in the space. Mm-hmm. And right now I've got the Philips Hue sync box with my television.
Yeah.
And so I can. Netflix has a like a fireplace
video.
And it's like 4K awesome. Fireplace. And so then it's playing this music and the TV is syncing with that. And then my Nano Leaf panels, I can turn the fireplace setting on.
Your whole place and is just like.
My whole place is on fire, but there's no real tree in there. So it's not real fire. And I can look around and just like, oh, I'm so happy.
That is pretty awesome. I mean, I got it. Some of that more like obvious effect of it would be nice. I was just going to imagine like you should just have Christmas movies like playing even if like with the audio off but just like at all times so that like Elf is going on and then your lights are all
the lights
like
are doing their thing. Oh man, I can't wait to watch Elf and have the sync work with that.
Yeah, maybe I am getting more in the Christmas spirit.
Yeah, look at this is good. This
you
is...
can't see the pointed ears underneath my headphones here.
This is holiday my therapy podcast. All right, let's go ahead and
I'm wearing a green shirt at least.
Oh,
so.
That's nice. And I've got red, so we're
yeah. It's a Christmas red. Episode.
Oh. The early Christmas episode. So let's go ahead and move on to our picks of the week. Actually, let's start with the question. There was a question that Kevin asked us some time ago. Not Kevin the TD, but Kevin who is a listener of the show. And Kevin asked, "Have you guys asked your HomePod for the latest weather forecast lately? I used to do this on an almost daily basis, but since the latest update, it no longer seems to work." And so, Matthew, you tried this, and what was the result for you?
I've been having some consistent results. I did one time, I was really confused because I thought that I asked it for the weather like just normally, and I must have actually used my shortcut trigger phrase because I was convinced it was running my shortcut when I was asking it for the weather, even if I wasn't using my trigger phrase. But the next time I did it, it's like, of course, then it was working fine. So I haven't seen this problem, but it's possible that there is like some localization or like not finding your proper location.
Yeah.
But it doesn't.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh, so I was hoping, I forgot, we had some Wi-Fi issues here, and so I'm not seeing the option to AirPlay to our television. Or else I would do that because I wanted to play the audio of me testing it. So essentially, I put my HomePod to the test, and I was trying to figure out how mine would respond, and it depended on how I asked it because I had set up a shortcut with the Carrot Weather app, and the HomePod, of course, had synced with that. And so most of the time when I was asking for the weather, it would... Even if the phrase was a little bit different, it would still default to playing the Carrot Weather app. And so it would be the first time I did it, it was like, hey, can I have permission to ask Carrot Weather for the weather forecast? Actually, it said Carrot Super. What did it say? Carrot Superscript 5 or something like that.
Because they have the little icon.
Yeah. And so then I said, yeah. And then it would do that. And there was only a specific way that I could get it to actually just give me the weather forecast. So, Kevin, my advice for you is to check in your shortcuts options to see if you have any shortcuts related to weather that you may have set up, or if you have an app that can sort of push a Siri shortcut, or I'm not sure exactly what the direct terminology there is. Is it a Siri shortcut suggestion? Or that. And if you do, then that could be causing the problem with you not being able to get it to work after the latest update.
Especially, so does your Carrot thing swear at you? Because that's one of their Carrot Weather's
features.
Yeah, I don't know, but like their shtick, I guess, is that it's like a rude weather service, and so it's like, you're going to need an umbrella, you idiot, or something like that.
Earlier today, it said, oh, and what's so funny right now, it's saying frack off clouds, so I could have looked at Carrot Weather to know what the term was, but earlier today, hilariously, it said, you smell and you're ugly, and here's the weather forecast. And I had a good laugh. I love Carrot Weather. It's a fantastic app. And if you have a sense of humor and want to be poked and prodded with rude bits of humor throughout the day, then I have to recommend it. Plus, it's just a good weather app in general. It does a great job of forecasting the weather, but with a few laughs along the way.
What is your shortcut named for it in your shortcuts app?
Say
I have
again?
Weather report. What is the name of your shortcuts for Carrot, like in the shortcuts app? Because most of those should be in there. Bum, 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 mine is Weather Report. And so I think it is.
What's the Weather Report?
Yeah.
And so, but I didn't ask what's the Weather Report. I said, what's the weather like? And it still did that. The only way that I could get it to use, the only way that I could get it to use the built-in sort of functionality was, what is the weather in Petaluma today? And then it didn't go to Carrot to figure that out.
I think that might... Let me try it right now, because... Okay, hold on. What's the weather?
That sounds like the actual...
Yeah, that's the normal
forecast.
One. Because mine, I have a whole one that's like... humidity is around this and visibility and all this. And I was like, that's why I was like, wait. So it is funny though, because I want this to happen, but it can figure out. It's like, I asked for weather and it runs my weather report shortcut, even if I didn't use the exact thing. But it's one of those examples where in practice, it could just be really confusing because you don't always want to run that shortcut or something like that.
You just need to say, please, that's all. in fact, Matthew, would you please share your pick for this week?
Yes. Along with the Christmas theme, I thought this was cool and makes me jealous because I don't think I can use this with my setup, but the Google Nest Hello has seasonal doorbell chimes. So it can, as if you go in and set your doorbell theme, it can go from, what was it? Christmas, Hanukkah, New Year's Eve, and winter, whatever that specifically means, but it does sound like it can just be like dun, 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 when somebody shows up at your house. So that's pretty awesome. I thought this is just like a clever, that would definitely get in the Christmas
spirit
a
thinking.
Little bit more.
Yeah. You could feel the holiday chill if you were, if you had this set up.
The thing, all right,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, I'm definitely going to have to set up my own shortcuts versions and share them. Maybe that can be my project for next week of NFC tags to play different Christmas songs or something like that.
What if you had different? So for me, with all of my little trinkets and doodads that are around the house, if I've got something that's like a little drummer boy figurine, then
yeah, put them on the bottom. Bum, 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 bum. Oh my God. That is actually awesome.
And then I don't know what else. A snowman. I literally almost said a snowman. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer would start playing. Where is my brain? No, Frosty the Snowman would start playing.
That's pretty good. On the manger, the little Jesus songs. I don't know.
Jesus songs. Yes, that's what they're called. Let's move on to my pick. It is the Eve Energy Strip. This is an $85 product from Eve, it's now called Eve Home. And it is a device that I think everybody who gets into smart home stuff should eventually have, be it the one from Eve or be it a different one, an actual strip, like a surge protector, that mm-hmm. each of the plugs are smart and that you can control them over, in this case, Wi-Fi. These are nice and spaced out so you can plug stuff in really easily. There are three physical buttons on the device. And Eve's site even has it set up. They've got it sitting up on top of an entertainment center, because it is nice. It's made of aluminum and it's black plastic on the top, but it's a very svelte design and it looks good, I think. It's got a surge protector fuse built into it. It's got a surge protection indicator, like all of the stuff that you would want from a surge protector this has, but it's three plugs that are all smart home compatible. So this works specifically with Apple HomeKit, which of course is the system that I use. And I have mine. This is perfect for the holidays, especially because I can plug in all of the different plugs for that and have them turn on. But I think this is great. It's got, of course, the different energy information as well. So you can see what is how much different devices are using up your energy, and even shut them off. You know, you can set up automations to shut them off after a certain period of time. And given that it is a surge protector, again, it's great to have for your electronics. And for people who find themselves having to power cycle their modems or their routers regularly, nothing is greater than to be able to sort of be in one spot. You turn it off. Wait, no, I guess that wouldn't work.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. You can't turn it back on.
The modem, you could power cycle your modem because it's HomeKit, so it's local area network. So your router would still connect with it via the relays through your Apple TV and stuff like that. So you could power cycle the modem. You can't power cycle the router with this. But if you have devices that you know, need to be turned on and off or what have you, or just, like I said, in your kitchen, maybe you want to have you've got like a coffee pot that needs to warm up, as well as a tea kettle or something like that. Anyway, it's nice to have three plugs and I can set them up however I want them to. Each of them do different things. And I actually move this around pretty regularly, specifically like when it's the holiday season, then it is used for that. And then I can put it in other places when it's not. It's got a really nice long cord as well, so you can plug it in. And what I love is it's got one of those, 90-degree cords. So it plugs into the wall and the wire feeds down instead of coming out of the wall, which is obnoxious. And I don't like it when plugs do that. So this was a good design all around. Eve Home, I swear by, particularly their newer Wi-Fi products, because if I have to choose between Bluetooth and Wi-Fi, I'm going to choose Wi-Fi connected products because Bluetooth has a tendency to be a little finicky and delayed. So, yeah.
There's only three outlets. That's not a ton for $80.
No, but in comparison to, I guess there are some smart plugs out there that are,
that's what I'm looking.
$15, $20 a piece, but you're not getting surge protection. Which is a big thing. Great. Many of them don't have energy monitoring if they are at that low price. And it's also the matter of, you're taking up three plugs with a three smart plug.
Yeah,
this is, you that's take what one, I, it's got three.
For, for my video lights that I normally use, I have two Wemo things on one like converter that's like hanging down off my light strip underneath my desk. So it's like an extra like 4 inches down just to be able to plug it all in same spot. So for anyone also who doesn't, because Eve stuff is all HomeKit, right?
Yes.
There, Amazon does actually have, this isn't an outlet or any or a strip or anything like that, but their smart plug is only like $5, which is pretty solid. But I was like, it'd be pretty frustrating to have to use your voice to be able to turn off an outlet. Like that is one of the things that I like about HomeKit is using the control center widget to turn stuff on and off.
Yeah, absolutely.
And automations and stuff like that. So, I mean, I guess it's still not bad, but there is a lot of the outlet ecosystem does seem a lot richer now, which is nice.
Yeah.
I hope to see more of these smart strips because that stuff is where what most people need, I think.
What I...
like buying individual ones around the house isn't... It gets expensive. So I guess the $80 for one, I guess it does probably even out now that I think about it.
Yeah. What I ended up doing for mine, I've got two video lights as well, especially when I was podcasting from home before a lot more often. And I had one HomeKit smart plug. And then from there, and I sent you a link to it, it is a... an adapter, so it plugs into the smart plug, and then it splits into two.
Oh yeah, and then did I just do it unnecessarily with two?
Yeah. You can just do it with one, and that way
sweet.
You don't have to.
Maybe now I have an extra switch.
And guess what? It's only $6. it's the one that I use, and I've had them for a while, and it's great. So you should definitely get that.
Oh no! Wait. Okay, I have one with an adapter for both the plugs that I use. I don't have two separate ones. I was going to say that is pretty dumb.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, yes, that's my advice as well. Then it's really nice to have the one that splits into two, and I've used those in different places as well. Oh, look, you can get a 100-pack for $220. All right, folks. this, of course, has been Smart Tech Today. We thank you for joining us today on this very special late episode. We will return to normalcy next week. We record the show live every Monday, typically at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, which is 2300 UTC. You can go to twit.tv/live, and that will show you the live stream and the different places that you can go to watch the live stream and join us in the chat, of course. You can email us stt@twit.tv if you have questions or want some feedback or have project ideas or what have you. Just send those to stt@twit.tv. Matthew, if people are looking to follow you online and get a hold of the stuff you've got, how can they do so?
You should find me on YouTube at Matthew Casanelli, and I am incredibly honored that I just passed 20,000 subscribers, which is wild.
Nice.
So I do. I've got a What's on My iPad video coming soon. That's sneak preview. Lots and lots of shortcuts. so that should be fun.
That's awesome.
And I'm super pumped about what's coming next year too. So look out for all that.
Yeah, that's
I gotta get you in there soon.
Oh, boy. Yeah, we need to do that. That'd be great. You can find me on pretty much all of the social things at Micah Sargent, or you can head to chihuahua.coffee, which has links to the different stuff I do. Don't forget to subscribe to the show. That's the best way to get it so that you don't have to be up with us late at night or midday if you're in Australia by going to twit.tv/STT. That will show you links to all the places you can subscribe to the podcast, be it on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, Spotify, etc. Look at all of those on the list. Wow, there are so many different places where you can subscribe to the show and check us out and get the show immediately when it's available after Kevin does a wonderful job of putting it all together and making us sound great. That's going to do it for us, folks. And Matthew, I guess it's time to say goodnight to your smart assistants.
Good night, Siri. Good night, Google. Good night, Jeff Bezos.
Jeff Bezos says, I never sleep.